Let's go. Here we go now. Hello, my name is Rebecca Tapp, and this is the DNA of Purpose podcast, where we explore purpose as a part of who we already are. We showcase all inspiring stories of the most purpose-driven people on the planet with the intention of giving you the tools to step into the potential of who you were always born to be. After all, it's in your DNA. Ian Hutchinson and Donnie McKee, such an honour to have you here on the DNA of Purpose podcast. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having us.
It's good to be here. It's good to be alive.
Absolutely. We should probably introduce each other officially.
Well, this is Donnie, yeah. But unfortunately now insists I call him my hero.
And of course, this is Hutch, who now we refer to as the survivor.
Slave. He calls me his slave.
No, you're not my slave. No, you don't have to do anything for me. That's our official intro.
That's the official segue. Look, we know what we're in for today. I can't wait. Let's dive in. So, Hutch, I'm actually going to start with you. What I'd love to know is if you can share with our listeners a snapshot of who Hutch was before September 2018 and who you are today as both a human with a heartbeat and also as a human who now teaches others all about how to keep heartbeats going.
Yes. Well, look, I grew up in a family. My dad was a real workaholic and a dutiful workaholic. He thought, you know, he needed to bring the money in to keep the middle-class family going. I really probably didn't want to be a workaholic. So I very much from an early age took on the philosophy that if you're doing what you love, you're not working, but you're getting paid for what you love to do. And
so he likes to do as little as possible, I think is, let's define that.
I'm a big fan of living a life by design rather than a life by default. And there's so many people who I think just get in the treadmill of life and live a life by default. So I had the philosophy, if you're doing what you love in life, you're actually not working, but you're enjoying life. But if you're doing what you love, you're probably going to be good at it. If you're good at it, then you're probably going to make a decent living out of it, and away you go. And in my early 20s, you know, I went on and did a bachelor business degree and I love skiing. So I went and worked for Threadbare Ski Resort for many years. I wanted to work in a product that was healthy and fun. I then moved into the broader scheme of tourism. But I saw many people that I was working with who were successful in their work but not necessarily fulfilled in their life. And it really puzzled me. And I then went and studied psychology part-time while I was still working, and I saw the positive side of psychology and the meld of sort of positive psychology with career development. And then when I was at Threadbow, the Threadbow landslide happened.
Wow.
And I used to live in the Bimbadeen Lodge, Threadbow, and I'd only just transitioned into leaving, and I was actually overseas when it actually happened. I was doing this career development course with Richard Bowles, What Colour Is My Parachute? And because I wanted to learn more about people's lives personally, but also from a career perspective, and came back and then started Life by Design, which is all about helping people live happier, more fulfilling lives. I've written a couple of books and then been speaking about it really for the last 20 years. And a couple of years back sort of hit my number, financial number, and started to scale back because I think the busy traveling life of a speaker can be quite draining, and also wanted to spend more time with my family. In 2018, I took a couple of months off and cycled from Amsterdam to Paris, doing a pilgrimage to retrace my great grandfather's death in the First World War.
Wow.
Body never found, and identified within a couple hundred metres where he would have died from eyewitness reports over 100 years ago, came back, and so fit, healthy guy, within a couple of months, had this freak sudden cardiac arrest, and really came home to me that, yeah, we can all live a life by design, but first of all, we've got to be alive first to be able to live that life.
Mm.
So that's where Donnie and I have really got into now, trying to help pay it forward and make sure other people have the skills and confidence to jump in and do what Donnie did to actually, you know, keep someone alive until the ambulance arrives. So that's kind of my snapshot.
I have so many questions already, and I'm going to come across to you in a sec, Donnie. But before I move,
he loves being the star of the show. It's okay,
he's taking the spotlight. But there's a few themes in there that I already want to unpack, and the first one is: can you share with me what a life by design is versus a life by default? Because in a conversation about purpose, I think that is a really interesting thing to pull the layers off a little further.
Yeah. Well, firstly, what I've found over the years is most people know what they don't want in their life. Fewer know what they really do want.
Mm.
And if you don't know what you want, you haven't got clarity about being able to actually follow your dreams. And I think a lot of people have very vague dreams. Oh, I don't want to, you know, work 9 to 5, or I don't want to, you know, be poor, but they're not clear about what it is they really want. So I'm a big fan of, and my daughter's probably sick of me saying this, clarity creates control. If you can get,
I was about to say that. I was about to start just parroting everything I've heard you say. But in saying that and joke around, as you'll find out as we talk through this, he absolutely lives what he preaches, and that's why it's very interesting to see before and after this ordeal.
So if you can get clear on what you really want in life, then you're going to have a much better chance of getting there. And, you know, it's simple things like, you know, basic career development aspects, like what are your top values? What are your top interests? What are your top skills? What's your personality traits? And if you know what makes you up and who you are, then you can start to then match what I call those 20 key DNA factors of who you are with what a future vision that you might think you want. You know, oh, I want to be a travel photographer. Well, how much does that in line with your interest, skills, values, and personality traits?
Mm.
Or I want to do this, or I want to do that. Does that match up? So we really it's about trying to get you clear on who you are and ideas of what you want, and then match those together. Make sure you're in true alignment, so you're living your life, not someone else's life. Because if you don't know what you want, you'll end up living someone else's life. What your parents want it for you, what society says you should be doing, all those sort of things. And we could probably do a whole podcast
on that, yeah.
Just on this, you know, and Donnie's sitting here twiddling his thumbs and his coffee's going cold. So he is my hero.
I'll bookmark you there, because what I'm interested to know as we, move further into the conversation is how life by design changed after the event we're about to talk about. In a minute.
That's a
but
great
for
question.
Now, Donnie, you and Ava.
The star of the show.
We could answer that question very quickly. How much has it changed? The only thing that's changed for him is that he was a pretty ordinary bloke beforehand. And then after it, he's still an ordinary bloke. He just mows my lawn and washes my car a lot more. But sorry, Bex.
He's upped his skills. We like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Donnie, you and I have worked together professionally for over 15 years now, and even more significantly than that, you and your beautiful wife, Robbie, are two people that I absolutely adore and consider very good friends. And in fact, my two-year-old daughter has had your son's cot for the last 2 years.
So how's it holding up? I did put a couple of extra screws in before we offloaded it to you.
Well, it survived. We actually just bought her a bed. So
great.
It survived, which is awesome. So thank you for that. I'd love it if you could also share with our listeners your amazing journey from comedian to improv expert to heart and health awareness guru. How has your purpose grown, expanded, and evolved to step into who you are today?
Sure. So I've got to where I am today, a very different path than Hutchie. I trained as an actor in Brisbane early on after school, quickly realised in doing that I was made for comedy, not made for serious acting. Eventually started my own business with a great mate of mine, Alan Peck. We opened Chaos Comedy Restaurants in Sydney and had three 350-seat venues operating for about, that was through the 90s, and we operated that business for 10 years. Then I took a lot of, when that business finished, I took a lot of those skills and content and focused that on conferencing and events in the form of being a professional MC, corporate improviser and facilitator. And that's actually where our paths, actually all three of our paths crossed for me because I joined Explosive Minds, which was a top corporate improvising team. And that's where I met Hutch, and that's also where I met you. So there's a lovely synergy there today of where all our paths crossed. As far as how as far as I've been doing that all along, and Hutch and I have done gigs together and stuff like that, really, as far as us coming together with what happened, we live geographically pretty close to each other, and we're great mates, and we started writing on a regular basis, and that's how we both ended up on the track that day.
That's probably how I and that's how I ended up dead as well.
What no, yeah. I had nothing. It was just a normal bike ride day. I was leading, he was lagging behind. but as far as purpose, which I know this is what this podcast is about, I was lucky to know, I think, pretty early on in my life that I was born to engage and entertain people. I think that's always been in my DNA. And luckily, I really cottoned onto that very early in my career and have spent a lot of time ever since then building that purpose and honing that skill to better connect with people as quickly as I can. And I think I've only just applied that even more now, with even more authenticity and more reason with everything we're doing with CPR Friendly. So yes, that's how there's a lot more heart, I suppose.
There you go. Yeah, and that is an area I'm going to dive in into a little further in a moment, Donny. But
it was David Campbell, I think, we were doing an interview on the Today Show, and David Campbell said, you guys make death fun. because CPR training can be pretty boring.
So we've definitely tried to reinvigorate that space.
Yeah. Well, look, I think it's fair to say it needed a little bit of fun because in researching for today's podcast, it actually got me thinking that if somebody had a heart attack or went into cardiac arrest, would I actually know what to do? And I'm not sure that I would. Mm-hmm. However, and we will talk about this. Before doing so, I imagine that all of our listeners right now are like, what the heck happened? So over to you, Hutch. Can you share with our listeners what happened on that fateful day in September 2018?
Yeah, well, look, I've always seen myself as a fit, healthy guy. Did a lot of endurance sports over the years, in my mid-50s now, and was getting all the right things done, health checks, stress tests, all that sort of stuff, no problems whatsoever. And then, as I said, just gone on this big cycle trip through Europe. I came back and I had a strange blackout, never had it before, went and got all these tests again, had a heart monitor put on, and in actual for 24 hours, they couldn't find anything. In fact, on the way to the fateful bike ride with Donnie that day, I dropped off my heart monitor for them to assess it.
And it's just crazy when you think about that.
Yeah. Wish I had it on during the ride. Yeah. So Donnie and I would go on our regular Tuesday morning bike rides, which is, pretty tame flat bike ride. We just chew the fat, catch up, mates, get some exercise as well. And then that morning, something really, contrary to what Donnie was saying, something really strange happened. It's never happened before. But he was actually leading the bike ride.
Yeah, sure.
Freak. And then I just blacked out, cardiac arrest, And basically, you know, I had the easy part because it was nothing I could do then. I could change the situation. My life was in Donnie's hands. And actually, if you want, we've got an extract from the Triple O call, which goes for 10 minutes. Took 10 minutes for an ambulance to get here. But this is a bit of an extract just to give you a vibe of how cool my mate is under pressure.
Emergency, what town or suburb?
Hello, Eleanor Road and Hill Creek Reserve Park. Yes, hold on, I think he might stop breathing.
Okay. Is he awake? Stay with me. Is he awake? Yes.
No, he's not.
He's not. No, is he breathing?
No, he's not.
Stay with me. Okay. All right, now I'm organising some help. Stay with me, okay? Yes. Okay. Now, is there a defibrillator available?
No, there's not.
There's not? Okay.
No.
Now, listen carefully, I'm going to tell you how to do resuscitation, okay? Place the heel of your hand on the breastbone in the centre of the chest, right between the nipples. Now, place your other hand on top of that hand. Now, pump the chest hard and fast at least twice per second and 5 centimetres deep, okay? Until help can take over. Now, count out loud and I'll count with you, okay? And let me know when the ambulance is with you.
I can hear it.
Okay. Now, if someone can keep an eye out for it and wave them over.
Yes, they are. They are.
Thank you for that. Okay, so 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, you're doing a good job there. Keep going and don't stop until they take over, okay?
Okay,
sure. Now, the paramedics with you, yes?
Paramedics with you, yeah.
Okay, look, I'll let you go to speak to them. All the best. Thank you.
Whew.
Now, yeah, it's first.
How do you guys feel hearing that back?
Look, we're a bit conditioned
to it, but honestly, the first 5-10 times, you know, it was it does take your breath away. It puts you back there in that moment of trauma and stuff. You know?
Oh, I mean, it gave me goosebumps just because it does put you imagine yourself in that position. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well. The first couple of times it was pretty emotional, and even the first couple of gigs we did using the recording, I had to really pull myself together because I was getting very emotional. Mm. I can feel it now.
Yeah. It's just below the surface because, I mean, imagine, I try to put myself in his shoes, hearing back that recording of the ambulance arriving.
It's pretty surreal listening to the ambulance, ambulance arrive to your own. I was clinically dead for 19 minutes.
And just that moment of Izzy breathing, just that one line for me, I was like, if that was my best friend and just trying to integrate that, like that's it is extraordinary we're sat here having this conversation today, having just heard
very lucky. We are very, very lucky to be having this conversation
particularly
today.
When you consider, and we didn't know this, but we now know it, is only 9% of people survive an out-of-hospital cardiac arrest. So I am very lucky, and I'm very lucky that Donnie jumped in and did what he did. Very lucky. And he'll tell a story because I don't know the story because I was clinically dead. So
So we're riding around. We just come to the end of our ride, and the only thing I heard, Hutch was able to yell out my name. He was probably
Dick.
He yelled out my name. I turned around to see him passed out, slumped over his handlebars, careering off. It's a bushy area, just careering off the track and into the bush. Mm. I jump off my bike, I run back, and he's out cold. He's totally out cold. Luckily, a couple of lovely ladies who were walking on the track stopped at that time, Caroline and Anne. I knew it was serious straight away. We rang 000 and then another jogger stopped as well.
Tim.
And thank heavens for 000. They're so well trained. The operators are amazing. And as you heard through the call, they started to instruct us through stuff and what to do. And it was interesting when they said we had to start CPR, it had been 25 to 30 years in that moment. And in that moment, I realized, I hadn't done it forever. I even questioned, you didn't hear that in the recording because we sort of cut it down so you can get an idea of it. But in the recording, I questioned when they said, oh, you've got to do, you know, 30 compressions and two breaths. And I'd recollect something totally different. And the important thing about this is that CPR and resuscitation is always training. They're always updating it. Something you've got to keep doing, annually sort of thing to make sure you're up on it.
And the thing is, we'd done it 25 years ago because you think, oh, it's never going to happen to us.
Never in a million years. Yeah. Look at us riding around.
I was reading, Hutch, that you were a pretty fit guy. You haven't drunk much alcohol. You've always exercised. He's
a triathlete, as he tells me every second day.
fit and healthy, very good looking, got a beautiful partner.
Yeah, doesn't wear glasses. Like, what?
What a guy.
An absolute knob, right? All right, a wanker. So at least if someone could, you'd think I could be one of the 91%, but I had to survive.
Yeah, you got to stay on the earth.
And if you look, just quietly, if you listen to the whole 10 minutes of the tape, for the first few minutes, Donnie was doing a lot of stuffing around, giving them our location. Thank you very much. Having a smoko, you know. But what it taught us is that, it can 75% of the time, 80% of the time, it's going to happen with family and friends. 25,000 people die of a sudden cardiac arrest every year in Australia. That's 70 a day, one every 20 minutes. Mm. So 70 families today are going to be organising a funeral for a loved one that they thought was probably perfectly healthy yesterday. Mm. So we didn't know any of this stuff. It's amazing. Now that we know it, we want to pay it forward. So Donnie did a great job, cool under pressure, but the Triple O operators are amazing.
Incredible.
You know, just ring Triple O. They will guide you through the process. Yeah, So
it happened. We were resuscitating Hutch. Tim had luckily, Tim had done a refresher course within 6 months. So he jumped in straight away, started to give compressions.
How lucky is that?
Very lucky. Unlucky for me, because that means I drew the short straw and I had to give him mouth to mouth.
He loved it.
And which, I read he had garlic bread that morning somewhere. Is that
bread.
True? Well, is just that true?
Donnie,
is that...
Donnie says that the fact of the matter is he couldn't wait to do mouth to mouth, and I woke up from my induced coma in hospital the next day with quite a bit of pash rash.
Look, I did not have time to shave. All right, I apologise.
Robbie, his wife, tells me he's a very good kisser, so I shouldn't be worried. But yeah, he drew the short straw, had to give me mouth to mouth.
I did. Because of my background and what I the skills I used, no, he hadn't had garlic bread. That is the truth. But the thing is, when we talk about this, as you can tell from the Triple O call and stuff, it's really quite serious, and it can fill people with tension and anxiety and stuff like that. And as a presenter, one of the skills that we both have is that you need to be able to break that tension. Comedy is the best thing.
Yeah, definitely.
To use and break the tension. So that's why we have things like that when we're trying to describe, to give people the gravity of what happened and the seriousness and the importance of having CPR skills. Mm. But it can trigger a lot of people too when we talk about it and when they hear what happened to us and realize
totally.
You need to be able to break that up a bit. So garlic bread, when I say bread,
but it's interesting about what you're saying there, Donnie, is in terms of pulling out the lessons about purpose. What I love about what you guys have created is that purpose enables us to integrate all of who we are, our past, all of our tools, our talent, where we've spent time. Yep. And then we're able to use all of those things to create impact.
And use the skills we most love using.
Exactly. And that is your DNA. And that's exactly what you guys are doing. You're taking a really serious thing that we really need education on, being CPR, but you're translating that for an audience that enables it to feel lighter, for people to be able to hear it and digest it without feeling scared. And that's a gift, right?
Well, what we're trying to get the message out, and because we realised that people will only do CPR training probably for two reasons. Mm. Number one, because they've had a personally relevant experience and, gee, they go, wow, we should get some CPR training. Mm. Or two, because they have to because of compliance.
Their job, yeah.
They're a personal trainer, a nurse, a teacher or whatever, and they have to get CPR training.
Which is the only time I've done it, actually, was when my daughter, before my daughter was born, to teach a dance class that I teach. But that was years ago. I haven't updated it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And we've kind of studied, we've probably done 15 CPR courses.
Yeah.
And no disrespect to get to the instructors, but they don't have the backgrounds that we have. So we've taken
presenting and communicating and engaging audiences to really learn stuff.
Yep. So we went, well, to get it out there, it's got to be fun. So they go, oh, this is the most enjoyable CPR session I've ever done. You should get these guys. Mm. You'll learn a lot. We did a program on Tuesday. Feedback was, super informative and fun. You know, who says that about CPR training? You know, so I it is important, I think, we've been able to harness all these skills that we have, but really focus it in on the purpose of saving people's lives, you know, and there's not much better than that.
And it did give us huge purpose, especially when, as we started to research it and personally get involved, that 70% of bystanders and people in this situation feel helpless and don't know what to do and don't feel confident to even have a go. And, you know, the thing we know now, one of the most important things we know now we didn't know before, is that any attempt at resuscitation is better than no attempt at all. And we just want to try and get people that confident that they're going to jump in. That's why we've got the free webinar and things like that now, so people can always update this in their time and as easy as possible.
Look, I'm going to come back to that in a minute. Before moving into that, I want to talk about the emotional gravitas of that event for both of you. Yeah. Hutch, you mentioned before A Life by Design. You know, when I hear this story, I can't help but feel this was a pretty significant turning point. It's interesting that you'd also been through Threadbow, so it wasn't the first big turning point where you might have had something come up that really, I think, like, you've got Life by Design and then something like that happens that completely shakes that boat and takes it to a whole new level. So talk to me about that, Life by Design before, and then you go through these really significant turning points, particularly what happened on 2018 where you actually died. How did that change?
Well, unfortunately, I'm going to give you a really boring answer. And it all comes back, and our answers are probably slightly different.
Yep.
And other people's will be that I've spoken to have had the same situation. They're all different experiences. But I think mine comes from the ground roots of I had a very strong and clear philosophy of how to live life. And, you know, I think it's the Threadbow tragedy thing was, you know, I think it's, I used to say, look, the tragedy in life's not dying. The tragedy in life is not to fully live. But then the question is, well, how do we fully live? You know, and one of the important things, and we've probably all heard it, you know, is gratitude is a really simple tool to use. But if you're not grateful for the life you've already got, why the hell should the universe, why should you be deserving of getting even more? So first we've got to be grateful for what we've already got. And then it comes down to clarity, being clear of what you do want. And without clarity, you're going to live someone else's life, society's life, or family, your family expectations life. So I was very lucky, I think, in that I very early on, you know, in my late teens, used to study all the personal development stuff. You know, you rattle them off, and I've probably, studied them or listened to them. I used to drive from Sydney to Threadbow a lot, and people would go, oh, that's a long drive, 6 hours. I go, no, it's great because it's my temple of learning. Mm-hmm. Back then I would have all these cassette programs, you know, and listen to them and
cassette?
I still love it.
What's that?
What's that?
I said a cassette? What's that?
Yeah, that's how old I am.
He's got five Walkman right here.
Oh, yeah.
Vintage, classic, collectors.
Back in the day. Cassettes. I'd cram my mind with all this stuff. So I, when the incident happened, or any incidents, I think the Threadbow landslide tragedy, another big one was my dad's death. And suddenly you go, oh, big news has happened in my life. I've got to tell someone. It's usually my dad, but something's not right. Oh, that's right. I can't tell my dad because he's not here anymore. And then the sudden cardiac arrest was another one. For me, they are all just reinforcements and reminders that we need to make, you know, don't waste life. Live it by design. But how do you do that? You get clear about it. So that all, my before the incident, my after the incident haven't changed much, although it's just at all really, although it's just reinforced. Be grateful. Don't forget friends and family are key, and, you know, be on the quest to a higher purpose. Mm. And the slightly higher purpose for us is life by design was really meaningful for me. Well, I did it for 20, 25 years. It's still ticking over there. But you can't live a life by design if you're dead. So therefore CPR is an important thing to know to be alive. Because it kind of trumps the life by design in the first place. So that's it. But I mean, I know it's hard for me because I'm too close to it. Donnie can see my life and if it's changed from the outside looking in. So maybe he's a good guy to talk to about that.
Yeah. So I really, when I was looking at doing this today, Vex, I think this is a great example of the DNA of purpose and a testament to Hutch and his grasp of purpose of his life and staying to it, because he was pretty much the same and very quickly before and after pretty much the same or pretty much stuck to that same track because of the DNA of his purpose and life by design. He's got a piece of technology in his chest now called an ICD. You can probably just see it there. It's his own internal defibrillator now that if things go south, it's going to cut in and I can just sit back and have a cup of tea this time. We've spoken to, I think at the ICD network, a whole group of people have had these. And, you know, some of them are suddenly now just tiptoeing their life after this heart attack. Oh, I've got to be so careful. You know,
Walking on eggshells.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not doing this. I'm only eating, healthy foods. And I only actually like change their life completely, which is great. But the thing I would say, if that's what you want to do, but Hutch pretty much was the same. I didn't see him. I can understand why people would suddenly want to live their lives on eggshells, but he had such a great structure and such a great philosophy already in his purpose that it was there. And I think it absolutely helped his recovery because there were no surprises. He knew what the track was and he got back on his, not treadmill, but on your track and started treading that path again, which he had always been treading. So I think it's been a great thing for him to step over some of these bigger curveballs to get thrown in life and keep going.
Mm. So Donnie, can you talk to me about what was going through your mind? You know, we've all heard the recording before. Mm-hmm. I mentioned before you and I have spent 15 years working together professionally, and really that has been in the field of influence.
Yep.
But what I want to talk about right now is how you influence yourself, because you're in this like moment in time where literally your best mate's life is in your hands. Mm. What part of you kicked in and took control? Like, how did you need to shift state? Did you need to get emotions out of the way? Was any of that even conscious?
Sure. So when I think back to that, really in that moment, I knew it was incredibly serious. I just wanted to do my best and stay calm because I thought if I can just focus on those two things, then that's the best I can do and to come up with the best outcome as possible. And I was thinking about it, how do I have that skill? And I really think from years of being a performer, I think I have got pretty good at when big adrenaline dumps happen, and that's happened a lot to me, like any performer or presenter before you step on stage, being able to use that energy, channel it and still stay calm and focused on what you've got to do. So if I could divine anything from it, I think that skill in me had been developed over a very long time. So in this situation, I think that came to the fore. To be honest, you can hear it in my voice. I mean, it sounds The recording might sound a little bit calm, but I was...
He would have been shitting himself.
I was peaking. Yeah. I was peaking, but I was staying very focused and I was listening. And everything. So, and in real terms, that all happens when he got into the ambulance and was being taken. Because honestly, they defibrillated him twice there at the scene. And, you know, he wasn't on this planet. He was gone. So I was starting to think the worst. But then when they said, no, it's we've got something, and they got him into the ambulance and took him away, it was at that point that then my brain scrambled, because I think it was just that, oh, okay, the responsibility is off me now. He's, you know, and that's when all the doubts come in. That's when I started to feel really sick.
Had he done compressions hard enough, you know?
Yeah.
The answer all is the yes. Ifs. The answer is yes, because he broke three of my ribs.
That was not me. I did not break your ribs. You should have seen the ambos. The paramedics, they don't muck around, mate.
Straight
Can you imagine if you're in a situation, you're at home and your loved one goes down with a cardiac arrest and you don't know what to do and you can't get phone reception?
Mm.
Imagine the panic and what's going through your head then versus having at least... the 000 operator on the end of the line, mm-hmm. knowing an ambulance is coming and guiding you through that and coaching you through that. And what if you'd already done some CPR training, so knew the basics of what you needed to do? Yep. I think what would happen there is, and probably what happened to Donnie, I'm not sure, but, you know, getting into flow, you know, Mikhail Csikszentmihalyi, you know, psychology of flow, you suddenly get into the moment. And then it wasn't, as you said, until I was then taken off in the ambulance. Luckily, the police had organised a police escort, actually, which was amazing to get me to Royal North Shore Hospital.
Mm.
I don't know if you know what a green corridor is.
No.
It's where all the green, it's all the lights go green, you know.
Oh,
and
VIPs and stuff like that.
I didn't get a green corridor.
No. He got a beige corridor. No one took any notice at all.
But
you got to the hospital, that part's
good. You did get there.
Yeah.
I got there, Royal North Shore Hospital, and like the ambos were there and the police who was on duty attended turned up. And she remembered.
Yeah.
I mean,
so
I
straight after it, I went and immediately got his contact and drove straight from the bike track to his house and picked up Katie, his partner, to take her straight to the hospital because it was not a good situation. Mm. And when we got there and we're walking past, we just got there, you know, it's fairly stressful. We're walking past, I saw the ambos and the cops that were on the scene, they were there.
Amazing.
And as we're walking past, the cop went to say, to Katie, we're really
sorry for your loss.
Sorry for your loss. And the ambo quickly stopped the cop and said, looked her in the face, said, great, yeah, this way, because the cop hadn't realised that Hutch had made it. It was that bad. He looked that bad.
Yeah.
I mean, and the thing is...
Wow, what a moment for Katie too.
This is the thing, and we'll talk about the emotional impacts on people around you. And I was then put into an induced coma, and this is where they put people anywhere from, you know, up to 4 days, I believe, where they put you on an ice bed and they shut down all your external organs so the most important organs, the brain and heart, can, you know, do the maximum work with the blood
repair
flow.
Repair group, fix it, yeah.
Yeah, and then apparently, can you imagine the stress of that night, Donnie not knowing, had I done enough?
I didn't sleep. We didn't leave the hospital. This happened at like 10 o'clock.
10:30 on the
morning. Didn't leave the hospital till, and Robbie came over. We didn't leave the hospital till probably it was 8 o'clock at night, and I didn't sleep a wink.
Katie's parents came down from the Central Coast. Mm. Her mum slept in the bed with her. Mm. They didn't know if I was going to survive. Or be brain dead.
Yeah.
So a lot of the stresses are close family friends. Yeah, and people don't. I don't think people, consider that enough, realize that enough. So I was in hospital for 2 weeks, and at the end of those 2 weeks, doing all these tests, they still couldn't find exactly what the issue was, because a cardiac arrest is a tricky one because it's an electrical issue of the heart and it's like it can happen in an instant, whereas a heart attack, you can see the, it's a plumbing issue. You can see the physical.
Yeah, you can see the block.
Clogging of the arteries, yeah. That sort of thing. So mine was a cardiac arrest, so really hard to work out what had actually gone wrong and diagnose it. So that's why I got implanted at the end of those 2 weeks, a defibrillator in my chest, which battery lasts for about 6 years. And it's a bit of peace of mind, that if it happens again, it hasn't, but if it happens again, well, at least I've got that to reboot the heart.
I mean, and the thing on the other side of that, a month later, talk about giving you purpose, talk about giving you, a meaning in lots of ways.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
That's,
yeah.
And from that, that's where the reason for the first CPR barbecue even happened. We went, boy, we are lucky. What has happened with us and Hutch and the fact that he's here and stuff like that, and the chances were so slim. The next thing we went, it could happen to anyone, we don't want that to happen to the people we care about and love the most. So that's when we came to see, well, let's put a barbecue on and do some CPR training for all of our family and our closest friends. And that's what we did. That was the first stepping stone to give us the purpose of doing CPR friendly. And we cleared my whole lounge room out, and we got a mate who I knew who did CPR training and I'd worked with in the past, got him to come down, and I invited all my closest friends on the northern beaches and our family.
All two of them turned up. Yeah.
And
Can I just stop you guys just for 1 second, because the first thing I want to say is I really appreciate how vulnerable you guys have gotten this conversation, because I think it is really important for people to understand the gravitas of these events. And I really felt that from you guys just earlier. And I just want to create a little bit of space for that, because I think it is so amazing that you're out there using your purpose in the world to make CPR fun, and we'll go into all the ways that you're going to do that. But at the same time, there is like a depth of vulnerability and a rawness to what you actually went through, and to really hold space for that and respect that, because that is what CPR, this is what it actually stops, is people potentially losing their family, right? And this is where you were so lucky to be able to still be here having this conversation, Hutch. But I can, to see that emotion in you, you also have, it also gives me a deep respect for what it is to know you could have lost it all.
Well, and it is, I think I had the easy job. As I said, Donnie, sleepless night, Katie, my daughter, even popping out, they rang the hospital the next morning and the hospital said,
he'd popped out of the coma. He'd come out, which was the most amazing news ever, because, that's not normal. That's from what we'd understood. And, the doctors had prepared us when when he was, they're doing all tests and putting him in the coma and he's on life support, everything. Mm. The doctors were pretty sober in telling us the outcomes of these sorts of things aren't great. Your best case scenario is severe brain damage from lack of oxygen to the brain. Mm. So to hear that news was amazing. And then it's the waiting game to see, okay, well, he's conscious, but how much of him is conscious?
Mm. How much brain damage? Yeah. And that's the, it took 3 or 4 days for me to start to regain my memory. And I apparently.
Oh, well, the great thing is in that situation is that it appears that the inherent strongest traits of your personality come to the front. And with Hutch, that's comedy, and he probably talks a lot too. So pretty much he was on a loop. Initially, when he first came out, he's on this loop. And the loop was this. What happened? And we'd say, you've come off your bike and had an accident. Really? What happened? you've come off your bike, Hutch. You came to your bike, you're serious on your bike. Really? Then eventually it was, what happened? Oh, you ate ice cream today and you're not feeling well. So he was on this loop the whole time for like 3 days, and he couldn't remember anything. And I kept telling him that he owed me lots of money. And
apparently I still do.
But it was very, very interesting. But he'd try and be funny and he'd talk, and there'd be people in the room like all the time, and he'd always be introducing me to Katie and his partner and his their family.
I was brought up well. It was good manners.
Very interesting. As his body
came back
and rebooted, because he doesn't remember. He lost five days of his life where he came.
I have to ask, Hutch, was there any near-death experiences or any white lights?
What a question.
I have to ask.
We used to get asked that question.
Yeah.
I used to tell this whole story about I went down this dark alley and then down these stairs, and it was getting very, very hot down there.
Yeah.
I actually don't remember anything, and I think that partly because I probably didn't do it organically. They pumped a whole bunch of drugs in me, and they put me into an induced coma. So I probably didn't have a fair run at that. No.
We're statistically, if 10 minutes, if you don't. We were lucky that we started doing CPR and mouth-to-mouth when we did over that to sustain him, and this is such an important message you want to get out there, any attempt is better than no attempt at all, because really, in hindsight, I think it was doing that, having a crack and having a go, is really what made the outcome of him being in the 9% club and not the 91% club who never lived to talk about it.
So
every minute of inaction reduces your chances by 10%.
Perfect segue. What is CPR and how do we do it? Talk to me about CPR.
You want to go from the top down? No,
whatever. I mean, look, if anyone wants to know anything about CPR, the message we want everyone to know is use your phone, 000 operator.
Yeah.
Amazing. If that's all you remember.
That's the 5 second. We've created all these modules, which is a 5 second training, a 15 second training, a 3 minute, 10 minute, 45 minute. Mm-hmm. But the 5 second one is get your phone, ring 000. The good thing about the 000 now is it's integrated with GPS. So they will know where you are. You don't have to tell them. In our situation, we're in the middle of nowhere. So we didn't have a street address.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of the first things they ask for. So ring 000 is the first thing.
So second thing, if you know CPR, how to do compressions, 30 compressions to 2 breaths, pushing the chest a third or at least 5 centimeters deep to 120 beats a minute, which is to the tune of staying alive, that be able to give cardiac compressions, and get a defib as quickly as possible to the scene, either via ambulance or something.
What is a defib?
Okay.
And I'm going to try a defibrillator if I said
defibrillator.
That.
Defibrillator.
Defibrillator. You see the signs.
Yeah. We call it, in short, it's just a defib, but it's a defibrillator. Mm. You might have seen a sign that says AED, which is an automated external defibrillator. They're exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
So a defib is an electrical device, which you probably, traditionally have seen on television medical shows, 2 paddles, bang, zap.
Clear!
They're actually not as dramatic as that. It's a small electrical device with two stick-on pads, but basically it's the only thing that will reboot a heart after a sudden cardiac arrest. Keep in mind, a sudden cardiac arrest is an electrical issue of the heart. So it will reboot the heart like rebooting your phone and give you the best chance of getting it back into normal sync. If you've got a defib on someone within 3 minutes, it's improves their chances to about 75%. If it's on them around about the 5 minute mark, it's 50% chance. If you've got them on them around the 10 minute mark, it's about a 9% chance. So that's why we're all about, how do you get more defibrillators out there in the public domain? I'm lucky, I've got one in my chest. We've also bought one you know, sitting in my car just in case, because for someone else. We've
and
also
I think
got
it actually, I interviewed Greg Page from The Wiggles, and I think his life was also saved using the defib.
Yep. So Greg's all about getting more defibs out there. We come from, hey, you got to know the CPR will sustain someone's life until the defib comes.
Yeah.
So it's all about the compressions provide oxygenated blood to the brain, which just keeps them, maintains life until the defibrillator comes. So the basics are ring 000, do the compressions 30 to 2 breaths and get a defib. There, if you want to go into more detail on that, there's an acronym called Doctors ABCD.
Resuscitation Council Standard.
Yeah, which is the standard, what's taught in all CPR programs.
What does Doctors ABC stand for again?
So D stands for danger. Make sure there's no danger when you arrive. You're not going to harm yourself as a first responder. R is for responsiveness. Are they responding? And there's a simple acronym called COWS, which is can you hear me? Open your eyes. What's your name? Squeeze my hand. So you want to see if they're being responsive. Then you go into if S. they're not responsive, S is for send for help. So that's ring the 000, try and recruit some other people to help you. Try and recruit someone to get a defib. So that's the doctors. The ABC.
A is for airway, to make sure it's clear and not obstructed so you can actually start to resuscitate them.
They may be in a car accident and they just not got their head forward. Simply by opening the airway, tilting their head back, could open the airway and they could start breathing again and therefore be responsive. So A is for airway, B is for breathing. Are they breathing? If they're not breathing and they're not responsive, then you go into the C for compressions.
Yeah.
30 compressions. Yep. If you're breaking ribs, that's actually a good sign. 40% of the time you'll break ribs. That means you're going hard enough.
You won't know you're breaking them, but yeah.
Well, I did after.
Yeah, well, you know afterwards.
It took me about 6 months, my friend, to.
Well, I'm terribly sorry.
C is for compressions, and then D is for defibrillator.
Yeah.
Getting a defibrillator onto them. But if you heard on the 000 phone call that we played earlier.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard the operator say, do you have a defib available anywhere? And then Donnie said no. And I don't know if you heard her tone of voice, but it went, oh, okay. Like, oh my God, this isn't going to be good.
Yeah, because that's just changed everything.
Yeah.
That's just changed the
numbers. I didn't know that at the time.
That's changed the numbers. Chance of survival, yeah. So that's the doctor's ABCD. But if you can't remember that, just ring 000. We're friends with, I spoke to Donna yesterday, who was my 000 operator. And we're friends with the police who there, we're friends with the paramedics.
Yeah.
So most of emergency services don't get to see the good results. They just get onto the next job now. So we were very conscious about making sure that we went and thanked them and told them what we're doing. Mm. So they've helped save a life, which is going to save many more.
Amazing.
They just don't get the recognition they deserve.
Yeah.
Donnie, you referenced earlier the CPR friendly parties. Well, the first party that you had with all of your family and friends, and that was kind of the founding party for CPR friendly. I know that this conversation has really inspired me to want to up my game and know that if something happens to my family or friends that I know what to do. But I'd far rather have a CPR friendly party than go and do training. So how can I do this? Talk to me about CPR Friendly.
Very easily. Visit the cprfriendly.org website. We have all the resources there of how to do a CPR barbecue. We can even be involved if that's what you want in your CPR, barbecue. All the resources there, how to set it up. I think we've got invitations, everything. Yep.
We've got a whole hosting kit that we can provide people. We've even created a webinar now or a training recording that people can actually play and watch. And we've got access to helping people get a mannequin if you want to have a practical go through Royal Life Saving. They're only $50. So
I think I've actually created the podcast image for today's episode, and I believe it's you two with a mannequin squeezed into the middle. So
yes. That was probably Pirate Pete.
Or was it Bonkers the Clown?
Bonkers the Clown. Can't remember. Again, what we've done with all our mannequins is we've dressed them up in fancy dress to make it not as threatening and at least make it a bit more fun.
Yeah.
So CPR barbecues was the first thing.
And then we realised from that, because in putting that barbecue together, we got up and spoke. So we did some research and just realised in this area, the knowledge is really lacking. And it doesn't have, you know, our stats are only 9% survive. But as we found out, it doesn't have to be that way if people get more knowledge.
So we spoke to a lot of the organisations. We won't name which ones, but you know, a lot of the first aid organisations. And for about 6 months, we did a lot of research, found out that pretty much you can either go on YouTube and watch a short video or you can do your three-hour certification. So there was this gap in the middle. And because we had done so many courses ourselves, we went, oh, they're a bit dry. Let's make them more engaging and fun. So we did the CPR barbecue. Yep. Then we did a CPR street party in my street, invited all the neighbours, hosted it. And once they've done the CPR training, they realise the importance.
And raised money for a defibrillator.
Once they've done the CPR training, they realise the importance of a defibrillator. So a bunch of us chipped in for a defibrillator. We've got a defibrillator in the street as well. And we've now done that in a whole range of suburbs around the place now. Mm. And then CPR friendly clubs. We just did a club on Monday. Yep. Community events, all that sort of stuff. We've done conferences and events at corporates as well. So also it's about, then we've gone, put them online, and it's really about giving access to as many people as possible on the basics of CPR training. As we said, whether you want to do it in 5 seconds, 15, 3 minutes, 10 minutes, or a new COVID friendly, CPR friendly webinar.
Yes. Yeah.
We even sing in that, don't we?
Brings new meaning. Singing from the heart or for the heart, should we say. So, guys, before closing out this interview, I want to congratulate you both because, Hutch, I know that in 2019 you were awarded the New South Wales Premier's Community Service Award. And in the same year, Donny, you received the New South Wales Police Merit Award for your life-saving efforts. And I know Hutch has given you the Hero Award as well. So I want to say to both of you.
I've got a T-shirt to prove it.
What have I given him?
You gave me the Hero Award. A heart hero. T-shirt.
You are
a heart hero, Donny. So I've come to my final question today, and it's one I'd ask both of you to address, and it's simply this. What insight, tool, or piece of wisdom do you think needs to be shared in this interview that may have been left unsaid?
Well, a lot of people go through post-traumatic stress and deal with that different ways. I think if you can flip that into post-traumatic growth, what have you learned out of it? I see my opportunities. I'm on extended time now. So I think it's live a life by design, make the best out of the time that you have. Don't put off life. And secondly, you know, you've got to be alive first. So make sure that you've got some more skills and a bit more confident, a bit more CPR friendly with some of the skills, and, you know, go and jump onto cprfriendly.org and do our webinar and just get some skills, have some fun along the way.
Yeah. And for me, CPR is a critical life skill. And if you are ever unlucky enough to find yourself in that situation, having that skill is going to be so important because it's probably going to end up being someone you really care about. So refresh it often. And the only other thing I would say is that we've left out is don't lend Hutch money, because if something like this happens, he'll forget and never pay you back.
And we need a bit of fact checking on that.
Well, there's something I actually left unsaid, so I am going to throw one more question your way, Hutch. Yeah. Hutch, what's your advice for people who've gone through something similar to you in terms of, you just mentioned the post-traumatic stress. How have you dealt with the long-term emotional journey and the emotional healing? I think that is an important thing to talk about.
Yeah, look, because I think people do talk about the focus is on the physical healing. Mm. And you go to hospital and they put this in and they do this and they do that. And for me, you know, the challenges around the physical were okay, I've got broken ribs that Donnie did, but I was itching to you know, put me on, they put me on this program and they were giving me all this really lame exercises that I thought were so basic, but I had to be really patient with that. I think the biggest thing for most people is the emotional recovery. Again, it came back to my life philosophy that I'm going, well, I'm one of the lucky 9%. For me, it's an extended time. Let's now look at what we can do to pay it forward. The biggest stresses were for, I think, my partner and family members and my daughter. Is this going to happen again? You know,
And in that sense, it's family healing, isn't it, too?
Well, it is. And there's no real emphasis on that. And so Katie was like, what, you're going to go for a walk? Where are you going? You know, and wanted to know where I was because
you could only go on rides if I was going to go with him on the ride.
To start with, I'm not allowed to ride on the road. She doesn't want me riding on roads.
All right,
anymore.
Here we go. Hold my hand. We're going to cross the road now, Ian. Come on, let's go.
With my Zimmer frame. So, I wanted to get back on the horse as quickly as possible and start living life again because I'm on extended time, don't forget. So every minute counts. Mm. And we're now on this mission to make sure other people survive like we were lucky enough to survive. So I ended up working some really long hours to get CPR friendly up and running. And, you know, we're on a mission there. So I had a refreshed purpose, but yeah, I think you can dwell in the, and everyone's different. So I don't, it's just horses for courses, but I wanted to focus on post-traumatic growth, not post-traumatic stress, because I just wanted to get on with my extended time and make the best of that I had.
And he does. He has and he is.
And I, you know, look, I really want to thank my friend Donnie.
Yeah.
Thank my friend Donnie because, you know, he used to be number 7 friend, but now he's number 2.
We need a recap, man. That's,
guys, where can we find out more about CPR Friendly? Where can we stalk you online and learn more?
CPR. Well, the whole reason we called it CPR Friendly is because most people don't have time to get CPR certified. So we say, well, at least get CPR Friendly because life depends on it. So just go cprfriendly.org and everything's there, all the free resources, videos, how to host your own event. The webinar is there and you'll get it'll pop up at you. Please, if you want to get information on defibs, it's all there. Mm. It's just a free resource so that we can help pay it forward and save more lives.
Yeah. If you've got a club and organisation, we can come and give you some training too.
CPRfriendly.org.
And do you guys also have individual websites? Because I can attest to the fact that both of you are pretty incredible presenters, MCs and all of the above. So if someone's listening who's enjoyed today's conversation and likes all the funny bits and might like you to be a part of their conference, where might they find you on that level?
Sure. So if you've liked any of Hutch's funny bits or my funny bits,
go to Donnie McKee.
Go to DonaldMcKee.com, M-A-C-K-E-E, DonaldMcKee.com. If you want to be bored,
go to lifebydesign.com.au. Lifebydesign.com.au. But CPRfriendly.org.
CPRfriendly.org is the one you want to
help
first.
Keep you alive.
That's where you get to the heart of the matter.
Exactly.
Have loved chatting to you guys today. It's been such a pleasure to have you on the DNA of Purpose podcast. Thank you so much for bringing all of who you are, all of your DNA to the table. I've loved every second.
Thanks, Bex.
Thanks so much for having us, Bex.
Thank you for joining us on the podcast. If you'd like to follow along, please do at the DNA of Purpose on Instagram. You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is the DNA of Purpose with Rebecca Tabb. And if you'd like to keep up to date with all of our team's news and events, you can jump onto my website, which is rebeccatapp.com. That is rebeccatapp with 2ps.com. Also, if you love what we do, then please do leave us a review. It would be greatly appreciated. Or if you'd like to share your inspiration with our team, we'd love to hear from you. Please do reach out, say hi at your favorite social media hangout.